Welcome to Between Two Clinicians, the podcast that gives you a backstage pass to the mind of two therapists. I'm Talia.
And I'm Adam.
Let's get into it. We're live.
Yeah, I feel alive. There's pain everywhere.
We're going live. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so it's been a while. Life has happened to us both again.
It's wonderful. It's been a minute.
Yeah. And we're back again. Backstreet's back. All right. And today we're talking about this theme that Adam and I have noticed in, I would say, couples and individual sessions.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. This concept of a desire to feel equal with having a lack of clarity around the operational definition of an equal. I'm wanting a partner who's an equal. Why can't I have an equal partner? And this is not only this happens in romantic relationships, but I also think this can happen in family relationships and friendships where we feel not equal or lesser than another person. Sometimes that's our own psychic construct. And sometimes that is the case when we're looking at, like, I've worked with a lot of teenagers where they want like equal respect or equal whatever. I'm like, you're not there yet. Like, there is a deference and a hierarchy. So we'll flesh and unpack all of that today of like, what does it mean to actually be an equal partner or be an equal to someone?
Yeah, because it seems like the definition of equality has almost taken a little bit of a shift where it's not necessarily equal footing. It's almost like preferential treatment in certain ways. And I know, like, me even saying that, sometimes I've had clients like, ooh, like that feels abrasive to hear that out loud. But I think we have to really check ourselves on what does equal mean, because equal would suggest that if two viewpoints are being brought to the table in the way of like a couple, that we at least have mutual respect for each other and there's respect for the information that's being brought to the table.
Yes. Yeah. So the true, I just looked it up so we can have the
awesome
operational definition from the Dictionary of Oxford. Equality is a noun, the state of being equal, especially in status, rights, and opportunities. Other synonyms would be fairness, egalitarianism, justness, impartiality, non-discrimination, justice, co-equality. And then in math, it's a symbolic expression of the fact that two quantities are equal, i.e. an equation. So with operating on like a non-social definition, but an actual like linguistic grammatical definition, I think there are times where couples can be equal. And I think there are times, luckily, where couples are not equals and we are complementary, different. And that's what can lead to it feeling like a whole equation. But it's not, and I told you before, Air, I don't know, remember if it's Brené Brown or Esther Perel who had this video go viral that like, it's not, what they should, like marriage is not 50-50. It doesn't always equal 100 because some days you're at 20% and the other person's at 80%. Like, ideally, we strive for it to feel equal in terms of not unfair and not unjust. I think that is true in couple relationships. But to truly, I think it varies couple to couple. What is actually having an equal partner or an equal partnership look like may not be the same cookie cutter definition for every couple.
Yeah, I've always said that in a healthy relationship, you're going to have an ebb and flow of like different responsibilities and what you bring to the table, whether it's matching energy or expertise or whatever it might be. But even when there is like a 70-30 split, there's still equality in the footing of the relationship. So like maybe a person is a perfect example. I'm on here having this conversation with you. My wife is taking care of our child. There is a switch in the percentage of output in what we are mutually sacrificing for the sustainability of our relationship in this moment.
Right.
Now, where we start to hit fatigue or when resentment starts to build up is when there is this chronic nature of like, this is a very consistent pattern of one side's being over leveraged versus the other.
Yes.
Like, this is what I'm very, very well prepared for is at 5 o'clock when I'm done seeing with clients, that switch is going to go the other way.
Yes.
Where her output has been prioritized, there's mm-hmm. now going to be a reduction in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to step up in mm-hmm. that other way. So this is that natural shift. And the resentment is the fact that we're willing to acknowledge that the partner, depending on like what challenges are arising in that day, physically can't meet you in output for that. Like, and if we are striving to put out 140% output, we are going to mutually burn out.
Yes.
Something is going to drop through the cracks.
I don't think it's sustainable for both people to be going ham 100%.
Oh, for sure.
All the time. And that's where I call it. And I think this probably comes from more of like my analytic training. Sorry, I'm making sure there's not a mosquito squirrel. I've been getting bit like crazy because I guess your blood is sweeter. Like I already was being bit, and now with you know who arriving soon, it's like even worse. But I call it being in relationships, I call it being lopsided, that it feels lopsided in a relationship, almost like a seesaw that's not quite mm-hmm. even. Like the scales of justice are ever so slightly tipped in one or the other's favor, depending yeah. on what the topic is. And for some couples and family systems, even if we look at this as a systemic perspective, for some families that works. Mm. It works to have it be a little lopsided because they know eventually it will even out, or day to day it is so mobile yeah. that it's not actually locked tight in this disparate position mm-hmm. where with many couples, at least past the limerence phase, there is that power struggle. And I think this is where the discussion of it's not equal, it's not fair, and the whole resentment thing that comes up with feelings of unfairness. When yeah. we say it's unfair, when we say we're resentful, it's usually because it doesn't feel fair or equal in the relationship. And the times where it does feel fair or equal or closer to it, then we aren't as resentful. So it's like a full circle. I see like two sides of the same, a similar coin. We strive for, and again, this is not a social justice definition of equality in terms of like societally. This is specifically talking mm-hmm. about when I want an equal partner. Do I really though? And some mm-hmm. might say, yes, I actually do want an equal partner, but sometimes I might not want to. There might be things in the household or in our relationship I don't want to do or I'm not the expert at. So I would rather my partner take the lead or take it off my plate so I don't have to do it. By definition, if we're not doing, in my view, if we're not doing the exact same things at the exact same time, or we're not approaching the world in the exact same way, it would be difficult to have true, by that definition, equal, by the one we read in the beginning, by true equality, because we do need to have this kind of psychic balance between our partnerships. Even if we're in a same-sex relationship, we are each individual personalities that yeah. have different leading energies and different constructs that act on the way we view the world. We might be more equal than other couples or heteronormative couples almost feels like the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We are different. And to honor those differences can actually lead us to feel more equitable rather than trying to fight to make one of our, like, I want you to think like I do. Men don't see the world the way women do. And I'm not talking about this like woo woo. You literally, because of your hormones, do not see things the way that we do. And it infuriates us. Secretly, because we wish you did, because if you did, then we wouldn't be as resentful because we wouldn't have to do as much. We like things when they're just like off our to-do list. And I've said this before, like inanimate objects will talk to us. I get that from one of my mentors. And it's not until everything is clean and just so that it becomes like out of sight, and then we can yeah. rest. For guys, most men I've met, I would say it's easier for it to mm-hmm. be like, oh, it just doesn't bother me. It's not going to make a difference.
Apes strong together. I mean, like, yeah, they're just, yep. guess what? Like there is this natural like protector, hunter, gatherer mode, right? Like yeah. it doesn't matter if the person lives on Wall Street or lives right. in the, you know, the hills of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They're going out and they're going to hunt, gather, and kill. That's just, yeah. that's what happens. And that's what makes a lot of men successful. Now we need to harness that yes. also in a way that's not toxic or is not damaging to other individuals.
Absolutely. Yes.
But like, I think going back to the discussion of like, when we're talking about equality in a relationship, I also hear a lot of people say, well, I'm looking for equality, but I'm not necessarily looking on increasing my partner's influence into our decision-making in the relationship.
Yeah, I'm not willing to change it. And like I said, when we were off air, it's like some people have the view of like, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine also.
Yeah.
I'm not going to budge. I'm not.
We're equal.
Yeah. We're equal.
But we're equal. Yeah. But this is my side.
But right? I'm not going to change.
You know, and, yeah. Or the fact that like, are you willing to give up that like relational Rolodex? Are you willing mm-hmm. to stop talking to this person about how they failed you 5 years ago? Yeah. You know, I find that this conversation comes to the table a lot when we start talking about, you know, whether there's been emotional affairs, physical affairs, whatever it might be. There's always a, okay, well, I want to have, you know, equality in this relationship. I want to be in it with a partner. I want to take on life together. And then there's normally this discussion of, but one of us has to have an asterisk. Like one of us has to be identified as the bad partner. And yeah. I need to be identified as the intrinsically good person for staying with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's yeah. no way you continue in a relationship with a scarlet letter pinned to one of you.
No. And if you're the one who keeps readjusting it and pinning it metaphorically in your partner's sleep, how yeah. are they supposed to get out of that? And I to your point about trying to, the way I see it is if we're in that power struggle phase of the relationship, which typically happens at certain developmental yeah. points in a relationship, but it can happen sooner or later. That's why an average is from, you know, upper and lower limits. Yeah. There's outliers too, that if we entered into a relationship with a certain power dynamic, and sometimes it's very intentional, subconscious, but like in my view, intentional, it's yeah. like, well, I know why you picked them, because they remind you of whatever, childhood, yeah. parent, etc. That if you enter into it and it's even just ever so lopsided and off kilter, it depends when the power struggle, is it going to tilt in the other person's favor, or is it going to just stay this constant tension where you just can never yeah. quite get on the same page? And that's what I hear from a lot of couples too. I just wish we were on the same page about this. And if I hear sometimes as a neutral third party, well, we fought about this or we fought about that. And I've worked with couples before where they're like, you're not my favorite thing. And this could be a whole other episode too. It's like, you're not listening to me. And yeah. I'm like, no, the literal definition of listening is attuning to a noise or a sound. They are listening to you. They might not be complying. They might not be comprehending. They might not be understanding, but that is totally different than them not listening. So we'll do that for our next episode. But I digress. I just a small borrow from the future that well, sometimes just
like a yeah. word that you dropped there that yeah. that I feel like falls right into yeah. the word that we're going here. So equality.
Mm-hmm.
If you're demanding compliance, mm-hmm. is that an equality discussion? And that's right. exactly what we're talking about. Is because yeah. there's normally some sort of obligatory demand that is made mm-hmm. on the equality, and it's not us saying, hey, we're going to come to the table and we're going to recognize that both of us have a right to have a right. stance here. We both have the ability to have our own thought processes. But as mm-hmm. soon as you bring in the, well, we're only equal as long as you comply with me, then that's already moving back into a structured hierarchy.
Yep.
So yeah. what are you asking? You don't yeah. want equality. You want essentially agreed to servitude.
And that the blind obedience comes up a lot with parenting. It comes, and so we're probably familiar with that feeling of wanting someone to being interacted with by a person who wants something from us, where we, especially in the parent-child dynamic, are often not to gain. It's true. Like it would only please or serve the other person. And unless we have a buy-in as humans, especially as adults, when we have autonomy, ideal, fingers crossed, if we didn't yeah. have enmeshment and we come through the other side and are autonomous, I don't want to go back to feeling that way. Furthering that power struggle, making it difficult to have an equal partnership. Yeah. If my view of equality is you comply and come to my side of things. Well, if you would just do things the way that I do, then truly it would be like, well, my life would be easier. I wouldn't not like you because you'd be compliant and you'd be fulfilling this fantasy role in my mind that I think a partner should be. And if your view is my family was never equal, so my partner should be equal, that's faulty. Or yeah. my parents had as close to equality as I could see and I want to recreate that. Yes, hopefully you didn't marry your parent. Gross. Ew. No offense, you're from the South, but
you, David.
That's the colloquial truth. Yeah. Like that's what you don't want that. You want to honor the person for an individual. And by that definition, it may not be that true equal. It may be slightly off kilter because of that. And there's a few reasons why that like power struggle happens. It's like the pursuer distancer So I want to connect with you, or you don't want to be connected with. It's based on that shame, like your fear activates my shame and vice versa. Or most commonly with couples, it's based on punishment.
True.
You did the wrong thing according to what I wanted, so the partner's going to withdraw, and then the withdrawer, and separate from the distance or pursuer, it's like, I'm demanding this out of you. The other person's not complying. See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. If you would just run out of that, it's like, stop nagging.
Yeah.
Stop approaching it with the expectation that your partner, in the end, will comply with what you're saying. That's not equality. That's compliance.
Yeah. Sort of just taking it all in, because it's like we're ringing the right bells in this.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think, though, for like the audience as they're listening and they're like, well, but maybe I've been in a relationship where it was almost like in the true definition of being gaslit, where I was told that there was, you know, this equality position, but then I was also essentially told that there were certain areas in the conversation or in the relationship that I wasn't allowed to have accessibility. Now, I know that by the definition that I outlined right there, you're like, okay, right. So it's not equality. But why do we come to a position of being willing to accept sort of the inequality of a relationship? And what does that sort of speak to in the regards to like maybe relationships we've had in the past?
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes settling comes up in this part of the discussion. Like, well, I said this to a client the other day. I can't remember exactly how I worded it. Sometimes you need to be without temporarily in order to be with more permanently. So I might have to forego being with a romantic partner for a specific period of time and not settle for just whoever will give me attention, whoever will do these things, even though there's glaringly obvious differences or inequalities of like, I make more than them, or I do this than, like, it's so different that you look at it and be like, how are you together? Like, what do you, yeah, but why, where do you get from that relationship? And some people are like, well, I didn't think anybody else would love me. I was so sick of trying to date. I didn't want to risk it. I finally found a partner. Like, so many of these things are things I've heard from couples, individuals who are part of a couple, but they, like I say, bring them in through story, or they're just broken up. Like, I think I was settling, and they didn't know it at the time, but to your point, they were willing to suffer through or journey through inequality in the relationship because there was some other payoff. Yeah, they were mean or didn't respect my opinion, but we always went out to dinner. Or yeah, they were this, but there's a kind of a rationalization that they would engage in. And I think that's where sometimes there's a fear when you do date somebody. And this is something I learned in my analytic training. I was consulting about a couple I saw a few years ago, and I was explaining kind of their dynamic. And my consultant said to ask them, what are you afraid? If so, what are you afraid of in seeing eye to eye with your partner? What fear comes up for you when you have to, even in moments, be equal footing, equal vision? Like, how hard is it for you to see eye to eye on things? And that, when you think about the power dynamic, if I think I'm better than you, or I think I'm less than you, either way, kind of that power and shame dynamic, it's going to be scary to be an equal. If I've always been in the position, this is something I had a journey through too in my own current partnership. We started at different positions. Now we're much more equal. And I'm like, who the fuck am I? Like, we're in the point now where I'm like, I've never been this person. I've never been with somebody who's been this. They've either been so far ahead or so far behind. It was always the safe distance because we didn't have to be an equal. And now we are equals in the sense of like, we bring equal amount of money. We have equal responsibility in different ways. Like, equal but different, I think, is more of a striving quality rather than exact equality 100% of the time. And it's something that scares the shit out of me because it induces fear of the unknown. Who am I?
But even like just hearing you structure that, because like I can hear people, equal but different. Everyone's like all in, right? And I was like, but no, equal in how we personally see our intrinsic value.
Yes. Yes.
Like, the difference is, maybe there's going to be ebbs and flows, and sometimes you're going to make more money. He's going to make more money.
Yes.
That's the difference. But the equal is our own intrinsic value doesn't change. I appreciate where you took this conversation, because I was like trying to click something in my head, which is, how do you have equality in a relationship if you don't know your own value?
So true. Like,
I have to know my value, because there's never going to be a setup where if I'm worth $100 and I get with someone who sees themselves as being worth $60, there will never be able to be a position of equality without me having the same. I will have to decrease my value.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, a lot of times I talk to clients when we're navigating relationships about, like, we cannot corrupt who you are. Mm-hmm. Or we cannot, like, establish you at Dollar General pricing.
True.
Like, yes. Your value is your value. If you're finding that someone else is saying, oh, that's really nice, but I don't want to pay your value, I don't want to invest at what your worth is.
So true.
I mean, it's funny because, like, if you're ever buying a car, you're buying anything, and you see the letters OBO, right? It's or best offer, right? Mm-hmm. So many times when we put ourselves in a relational space, we say, I'm worth $18,000 OBO.
Yeah.
And what we essentially are doing is like, well, I think I'm worth 18 grand, but whatever best offer is. When the dude shows up and says you're worth 4 grand, do you just take it because he's the only person that's shown up? Like, that's where we're at. There's so many individuals that say, well, the phone's not ringing, or I don't have a potential line of suitors. Well, but if you know what you are, you know what your investment is, you know what your value is, and someone says, I'm not willing to pay that, it's actually one of the most honest statements an individual can provide you.
And it doesn't cheapen you.
I don't think you're worth it. Let them walk.
Yeah, that's about them, not about you, unless you choose to make it about yourself.
And that's what so many of us go, okay, well, I think that I can do this barter. Like, no, okay, so 4 grand, but I'll get them to pay more later. They're not going to pay more later.
Yeah,
they told you what they wanted. He
doesn't ever want a serious relationship, but maybe if I wow him with my sexual prowess, then eventually he'll realize it and commit. Or he just hasn't had my banana bread yet. Like, it's delusional.
I appreciate the Amish listeners. Are now, oh, yes. Oh, banana bread.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I think that really does highlight the striving for equality in the sense of, like, the worth equation and the value equation. I might not view myself as an equal to you, which is the paradox, exactly why I want to be with you, because it's a safe distance.
Yeah.
Or it's why I can't be with you. And that's what it sounds like you're describing or alluding to, is a healthy dynamic is, I see all that you have. I've read the fact sheets, the Carfax, right? Like, I've read your Carfax report, and I am not a fit. I couldn't afford you. And sometimes that's, like, if you look at it from the evolution perspective, men actually do look at what a woman has and think she needs all of it. And if they aren't able to provide all of those needs or meet them, that's often where we see, like, ghosting, dropping off, what have you. Doesn't mean, like, it could mean designer handbags, but we're even talking, like, a horseback riding hobby or a certain laptop. Like, it could be material or non-immaterial items. If I don't think I could be a provider of that, I'm not going to waste either of our times. It's not worth it to me. It doesn't mean you don't have worth as a person. I, as a self, in that case, being the guy in this example, I'm going to exit out because I don't think that we have that equal footing. I couldn't provide you an equal relationship. I couldn't provide you with what you've been able to provide yourself. And I think that's a shift that a lot of couples can make too, is can the relationship healthily be based on other things? Well, that's great. I actually don't need you to buy all that stuff for me. I have my money or savings or collections that I cover that. What I'm seeking in a relationship is somebody who can provide me all this other stuff. And that was very true of the people I was with before I ended up, you know, finding the person I'm spending the rest of my life with, that the purpose of a relationship shifted for me as I got older, as I had more money, more status, more whatever, that there was a different purpose. I didn't need money I never really did. But if I did, maybe it was when I was younger and, you know, either working a ton. So I wanted them to be working a ton too, so it didn't feel weird.
Yeah.
Or I wanted to be like taken out to dinner or what have you. So I would have looked to date somebody a little bit older who maybe had a more established career. Mm. That's shifted though. And as I was like, oh, I got me like financial, and this is a big societal thing now. Like a lot of women are mm-hmm. more equal in terms of, this is probably going to stir a shit storm, but like, we actually are able to get jobs now. Like that is a factual statement. At one point that was not the case, or it was very shunned. And it still can be in society of like the dad goes to work and is the breadwinner. The mom goes to work. It's like, how could you abandon your children? Like, make no mistake. I'm not dismissing that there are stereotypes at play here and deep constructs in society that need to shift. But we have, if you are a person who is able to get a job, theoretically, just by that definition alone, mm-hmm. both are able to get a job, we would have equal opportunity, maybe not the same amount of income, et cetera, but to provide for ourselves. Therefore, the purpose of a relationship would look different. Maybe I need emotional support that I can't give to myself. I want somebody to rub my feet. I want somebody to come home to at the end of the night. For me, it's not about equality in all areas. It's looking can we fill each other's intimacy. Gap.
I don't need currency.
Correct.
I can provide for myself.
Yeah.
And I think that you're actually bringing up a different conversation for us to maybe have on a different podcast because I feel like we have pushed as a society so far that because and thankfully that women in the workplace are able to make good money, they're able to provide for themselves. There's going to be a quick switch here in statistics where you're going to probably have more female high paid earners than you have men.
Yep.
Okay. And so they're able to take care of themselves, but the social narrative is now that you don't need a man. Now everyone's firing up. Yeah. Everyone's like, where's that? I'm going. No. Just remove man and put relationship. Remove man and put emotional intimacy.
Yes.
Remove that. Like, it means so much more than a man. When you talk about like, we are relationally driven as individuals. Yeah. And even people that say, I don't need a relationship. Sorry, your trauma's speaking, but you are, right? Mm-hmm. Like you do want connection and fellowship. Mm-hmm. That exists.
Yeah.
But this comes back to that equality statement where like sometimes I've sat with women CEOs and they say, Adam, I'm in the dating pool and I found this guy and he is head over heels for me and he's so emotionally available and he's thoughtful. He doesn't make my income.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, me. It's okay. Well, so he's lazy. Oh no, he's not lazy. He's really
hard. No, he's hardworking. He's driven. He does,
he must be in a shit ton of debt. Oh no, he's not in debt. Like he's perfectly good. He just doesn't make what I make. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So can you still have a equal relationship with this? Well, he doesn't make what I make.
Like, but are we basing equality off of earning?
Well, and I also want to know what is the value of emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. Like, because I can go out there and for any ladies listening, I can find you someone who makes mid six figures and boatload and it's all good. But then what happens when you say you want to have emotional intimacy? What is the value?
I want to talk about my feelings. How much do I have to pay to end this conversation?
Exactly. Like, I mean, we can all, every man has the potential to make a woman scream with 3.5 inches and it says Visa. Okay. Like that's how that works. Right. And that's how most men, they're like, oh God, she's bringing emotions. Like which card? Like it's not exactly. Like
we have a code red. She said the F word. Bring in the money clip.
Is Pottery Barn still open? Like, get an Uber to Fashion Island.
Prime now.
Exactly. Like, oh, I don't even care about the points. Just use whichever one.
Yeah.
Like, we can sit here and we can laugh, but that's sort of where we're getting pushed into. And then when we sit down with couples and they say there's no spark or the chemistry is not there. And it's like, well, but you've literally sterilized the relationship.
And what are you? Yes. What are you basing it on? Well, they don't make the same. They don't contribute. That's a big one. And this is something Ramit Sethi on his podcast, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Love that podcast. Highly recommend it to anybody listening for just financial mindset. He talks about when men are the primary earners or the breadwinners, it's spoken about in terms of provision and providing, and when the female is the primary breadwinner or earner, whatever the man brings in, whatever the lesser earner brings in, but typically when you look at like the statistics of who he has at his podcast, it's called a contribution. Oh, they're contributing. He's contributing. She's contributing, which is separate. Still, it can lead up to being equal, but the lesser quote unquote earner is the one who's contributing, and the higher earner is the one who's providing.
You know, it's just interesting because I believe that language is so important
in how we frame. So crucial. And
when you say contributing, you completely undermine the resources of the household. Like something that my wife and I have had to navigate is we have gone back and forth on primary breadwinners like probably four times. Like when I was still in school, she was it. When I popped out, I was it. When I decided to start my practice, she became it.
Yep.
Then where are we at now? We're retiring her. Like she's no longer, she's, but there was this conversation that we had a long time ago. I'll never forget. We were in a 500 square foot studio apartment and we were having this conversation. And we were talking about what happens a day that she doesn't work, right? And it hit me because I did have my own little biases. Like there were blind spots in the conversation for me, right? Because there was this idea of like, oh, well, if you're not working, then I am the breadwinner. And so like, you know, you've got big deck energy, right? Like you've just got like, you're breaking it all.
Yeah.
And so there became this other side of it, but like in an equal relationship, I also have to look at the fact that I can't afford her to stay home.
Right.
And when
you
say this out loud, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, here's the thing. If I needed to pay for childcare so that I could be here on this podcast, I couldn't be here. Most likely I couldn't.
Yeah.
Because if I had someone that worked her hours at her level of dedication, I wouldn't be able to just pay one person. I have to pay four people. And we're not even talking about splitting through roles yet.
Right.
Who's the house cleaner? Who's the cook? Who's this, that, and the other? And I'm not saying that I don't do those tasks either.
But we have to
hold
this space. You and I are both pretty good about splitting that in our relationships. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like, sure, she doesn't have a paycheck that's showing up, but she provides so much value in what she does every day.
Right.
That money that comes in for the household is the household money.
Exactly.
So like when I love it when I hear people say like, oh, I made $250,000 and my wife made 50 grand. Like, so your household made 300 grand, right?
See that already, the language of it and the mindset, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine also. I made more than you. So can sometimes translate into I have more value than you.
Or I love the just, like the just 50K. And it's like, well, I don't know about you, but a spare 50K is pretty freaking fun.
I wouldn't sneeze at it. And you're not even, I think so many couples say they want to have an equal partnership and yet they are still viewing themselves more often than not. I don't want to put a percentage to it as an separate autonomous individual, which I'm in it. Mm-hmm. We're not talking like codependency here. Like that's ideally how we should view each other. But they're so locked into these positions that you're not viewing it with a couple state of mind is what we talk about it in psychoanalysis. You must view it through that lens and protect the couple bubble. And I will use a small disclosure on this. I went through something where I made a big financial decision and I didn't, it was from the business. So it doesn't, I didn't have to be consulted with him, but I know now in retrospect, I would not have made that decision had I consulted with him and had I viewed it as our money, I wouldn't have made the same choice because I was so in the, this is my business, this, that, whatever lens. And regardless of the nuance of it, that is still a helpful lens to look through. How would I make this decision or how will I make this decision keeping my partner in mind? I'm not just going to go be, and some couples have the agreement when we're talking about like they bring in an income and X amount of the income goes to covering the stuff and anything extra that you each bring in goes to whatever, you know, fun hobbies or investments or what have you. That is still a very equitable way to set things up. We can still feel like, well, you spent it on this and why didn't you spend it on that? It's like all the other needs are met. If none of the other needs are met, then yes, that is going to be very disparate, that it's like they're always going and doing their hobby. And here you are, like, having to ask, like, Oliver Twist, like, please, can I have some money to get my nails done? Yeah, like, that's not healthy. That's not what we're talking about. But they just made 50K. No, if you look at it from a household couple state of mind, that's where equality, I believe, and it sounds like you might be on the same track too, like, that's where it comes from. What's fair, what's mutually beneficial, and what is mutually gratifying in the relationship? What are things that we can feel, which is an emotional state that we differ in, obviously, as men and women or just individual people. How can I experience my relationship as mutual? Mutual might be a better word than true equal.
Ooh, here we go. I mean, I want to just like tag on with your thought process here, because like one exercise that I have with couples is when we talk about, okay, we want to build a mutually beneficial relationship. Yeah. Like, and I don't do this because I like to ice pick people, but it's a quick way to jump into like, how invested are you in this? Really? Mm-hmm. As I always talk about, so tell me about your finances. I don't need to know like your debt ratios and stuff, but like, so do you guys have access to your money? And then normally this is when we start to hear like, oh, well, we have separate everything and like he pays for this. And like, as soon as we have that, we're also building the silent resentments.
Yep.
Because if I'm the man and the mortgage is coming out of it and the phone bills and all this other stuff, then it's really easy for me to turn around and be like, well, she doesn't pay for anything, right? Mm-hmm. But I've set it up that way. I've set it up so that my narrative goes forward. Yep. Now, I very much believe that there needs to be separate bank accounts in different ways, but it needs to all be accessible to everyone.
Yes.
Like, I agree. Like there's five accounts at this household. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's got a checking. I've got a checking. The house has a checking. There's a first stage savings and there's a long-term savings. Mm-hmm. That's how that exists. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She doesn't have to come to me for everything that she may need, because you know what? That doesn't sound like a mutually agreeable position, but we agree that every month a certain amount drops into both accounts and then we're able to manage that our own. Why? Because we trust it. The house account gets its own because guess what? Everything's coming out of the house. And then guess what? Stage one savings, there's times when things happen. Maybe there's a haircut that needs to pop up. Maybe there's you know, something needs short to be purchased need, for something. Boom, we have the ability to jump into that. But when I hear, oh, we are separate, use the words, we're separate. When we have separate bank accounts, we are not equal. We are not mutual.
No.
We're
operating as individuals. Ground.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I also will challenge normally that more alpha individual. And a lot of people go, oh, obviously he's talking about males. No, there's alpha females in this world too.
Yep.
So like, but this is what's interesting is you'll have that leadership dynamic where one person is making the decision. The other one has to move into that accomplice role. Like, oh, I'll go along with what the thought process is. But what's interesting is normally that leader spouse is the one that's barking the loudest about wanting a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yes.
Like, oh, I just want it to be equal. So do you? Would you actually leverage your spouse to be able to help you in that? Would you delegate to your spouse?
Would you let it be equal?
Or better yet, when you ask them to actually meet your needs, would you let them meet your needs by their own abilities?
Not by it only, the need needs to be met.
This is how I would do it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
This is how I would meet my own needs. But you know what that's called? Not being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's not about
yourself. Do you, I've told my clients this. I'm like, do you want a boyfriend or an assistant? Like, what are you, or a girlfriend or an virtual assistant? Like,
there's so much
cheaper. What are you wanting?
Yeah,
does true mutuality and equality in this sense scare you? And is that why you fend it off by picking partners who wouldn't even have a shot, even when they try, especially when they try to be an equal or mutual partner viewed in that way? Because this might scare you. You may have never had this like equality modeled to you, even if it was just like, I'm this close to losing my shit. Even if it was like that much different, we can feel that tension.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we can find how, you know, in relationships, we will intellectually and emotionally sort of bitch slap the other for even attempting to meet our need. Why? Because if they did, it means that I have to be vulnerable. Like, I would actually, I would actually be exposed. Why? Because this person actually said that I was worth it. They made the sacrifice. They made the attempt. They made the bid for connection. Ooh, now I have to, now there has to be.
Now I got to change my whole game plan of how I view whoever you're dating.
Exactly.
Capable, equal, mutual, desirous, willing, like all of these other traits come flowing in when I think, again, really like mutuality hits better for me than equality.
Yeah.
I think wanting a mutual relationship is, it's, I know it's semantics, but I know, I think wanting a mutual relationship that is mutually beneficial, respectful, opportunistic, fulfilling, gratifying, supportive, that is separate from, most likely separate from the finances and other things that we couldn't be an equal. Yeah. And looking at that couple state of mind is what shifts it to be mutuality.
Yeah, because there's a rigidity to equality.
Yeah.
Equality means it's 50-50. And if it's not 50-50, then one of us is getting screwed.
Yes.
But what's mutually beneficial largely lies on how we're both willing to maybe invest at different levels at different times, but we both get the return on the investment we're looking for.
Yeah. I think mutuality trumps equality.
Well, I think we've given them enough to think about this week.
Noodle on. So I'm going to name the episode that actually as we do this. If I can even type. Okay. Mutual.
Well, as always, we want to say thank you so much for, you know, tuning in. We appreciate that we're getting the phone calls, the emails, and, you know, people are listening and we appreciate it.
Big people are listening too. That's exciting. Yeah, we got some big things in the works that we can't share yet, or maybe ever.
But it's one of those things like when I win the lotto, I'm not going to tell anyone, but there will be signs. Like there's going to be signs. So
I can't wait for you to show up with just a grill.
Yeah, what's up?
Like bling checked out.
You want your relationship to look like this? You know, nothing but glitz, baby. Bling, bling. Like
riff raff,
Exactly. Oh my God. No.
If you liked this episode, please let us know. And please share it. That is how other people get to know our voices and our ideologies and points of view. And we're open to feedback, obviously, if it's well-constructed. But if you have an idea of like, oh, I never had thought about that, we like that. Adam and I like hearing what this makes you all think of. And I've had people honestly DM me on Instagram being, some of them are my favorite, where I posted, this was a while ago, but it was something about like, women are usually more emotional than men. And this is, that's a whole other episode, which we've already, you know, touched on. And the person who wrote in literally like lost their shit and went off on me was a woman. And I'm like, you're literally proving my point. Like, I didn't get any angry DMs from men about that. Yeah. Like, how could you dismiss? And I said, I didn't say that they weren't emotional. I just said that they were typically a little bit more expressive of it. Like, we like hearing these things, though, even if it's like, oh, I wouldn't have thought about it that way. I strive for equality. And this is not me being flippant or condescending when I say that. Good for you. If that is something that works for you, just like mutuality lands for us, I am happy that you found something that works for your relationship where you can still be in that couple state of mind.
Absolutely. But we run off of suggestions. So feel free to hit us up. Say, hey, I want you to talk about this.
Yeah, we would love to. We like riffing off clearly. And none of our episodes are scripted. I know some podcasts go through very diligently. And I love Andrew Huberman's podcast and Alex Solomon's podcast. Like, I do enjoy the ones that are like more research-based and scripted. Oh, for sure. And if I were a different version of myself who could still take my stimulant medication for my ADHD, I would love to have a script. But that's not my life anymore. And we're just going off the cuff.
Exactly. It's sort of like you're watching the real life safari play out.
Yes. And until we meet again, this safari journey is over. So thank you very much and tip your guides at the end when you get out of the woods.
Watch out for the hyenas.
See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks indeed.
Yes. See you guys. Thank you, everyone. Bye.